yesterday was a very sad day. I mean, the passing of Ken Stabler, I think it was a shock to all of us. You know, you just think that, you know, Kenny's one of those guys that whatever you throw in front of him, you know, it's not going to get him down. And then when you hear Kenny Stabler died, it's like a kick in the gut. It's kind of going around ever since in that way. But then you think of the good times and the memories and, you know, all the games and all the practices and all the meetings. And no matter what you threw in front of him, he enjoyed. He always had a twinkle in his eye and a smile. And he was one of the greatest competitors ever. And, you know, when you think of the Raiders and you think of the Raiders, you know, of the 70s, Ken Stabler has to be right on top. And he was just, you know, of all the people you coach, and I coached a lot of great ones and a lot of Hall of Famers, and he's one of the guys that's really at the top of the class.
Okay, Bill Williamson from ESPN.
Coach, can you think of a logical reason why Ken Stabler is not in the Hall of Fame?
No, I mean, if you just look at you know, how he played and what kind of quarterback he is, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. And I think that what happens is we get so caught up today in statistics and then comparing statistics, and you can't do that with different eras. Because, you know, for example, when we threw a medium range pass, it was 17 yards deep. Now a medium range pass would be 8 to 10 yards. We didn't have any of those smoke screens or where you split them out and just throw 1 yard passes or throw passes behind the line of scrimmage. And so that's, I'm not saying that's wrong. I mean, that's the way they play today. But then you look at, you know, his stats and you look at his completions and you look at interceptions, and, you know, the deeper you throw, the more you're going to have, but the more big plays you're going to have. And then you compare those to, you know, the players today and the game today, and it's not fair. And that's the only thing that I can think of. I mean, if you were to look at Kenny Stabler as an Oakland Raider, and, you know, you look at, you know, we had great rivalries with the Miami Dolphins, you know, who were one of the best teams in the history of the NFL, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were also one of the best teams in the history of the NFL. And Terry Bradshaw's in the Hall of Fame, and Bob Grecia's in the Hall of Fame, and look at Kenny's record, you know, against, you know, when he played those teams.
Okay, Frank Cooney from the Sports Exchange.
John, in the last few years there, after the Super Bowl, it was getting tough between Ken and Al Davis. Could you talk about how that impacted you, because you retired soon thereafter?
No, not really. I mean, I'm there's nothing there. That's not a thing. I'll tell you, you know, we won the Super Bowl in the 76 season, which was 77. The best team, to me, in the history of the Oakland Raiders was the next year, was 77, the year after we won the Super Bowl. And we went back. Remember Pittsburgh? We beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs, and they didn't have Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer. And that was one of the things. Well, they didn't have Franco, they didn't have Rocky. And so the next year, early in the season, we went back and we played Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and we beat them there. And I think that was the you know, hardest fought, hardest played game that I can remember. And it was also the height of the Raiders, which was after the Super Bowl. I don't think, you know, at that day, I don't think there was ever a team before that or after that that was better than the Raiders. But having said that, we got a lot of injuries in that game. And so then we struggled. We lost the championship that year to Denver, but You know, we struggled the rest of the year, but at that time, so there was nothing. There was nothing there after the Super Bowl, because I thought we were better after the Super Bowl than we were the Super Bowl year. Although
okay,
the Super Bowl year, we only lost one game.
Okay, AP Stedham from Alabama.
Good afternoon, Coach. Sorry for your loss. Coach, you were with the organization when they drafted Kenny. Do you recall the circumstances why the Oakland Raiders selected Kenny?
Yeah, I do. It was ironic. We drafted another quarterback in the first round, Eldridge Dickey, and we were kind of choosing between the two. We had Kenny Stabler rated, you know, as a number one pick, and so we took Eldridge Dickey from Tennessee State, and then in the next round, I would go around to the second round, and Kenny Stabler is still there. So we said, you know, I mean, he's too good a player to leave on the board in the second round, so we took him. And so we ended up with two of them. Now, what we didn't know, and, you know, I mean, scouting back then isn't what it is today, but we didn't know that he had injured his knee and that he needed surgery. So we brought him in, and then he had to have the surgery, so he missed that whole first year. Then he missed the second year, so he really didn't start playing for the Raiders until the third year that we drafted him.
One other question, Coach. Did you ever come to Alabama and visit Kenny or talk to Coach Bryan about Kenny and visit with Coach Bryan about Kenny?
Yeah, I talked to Coach Bryan about him a lot. I had the greatest respect for Bear Bryant, and I, you know, and his quarterbacks too. See, I had George Blanda, you know, who played for Coach Bryant at Kentucky, and so, you know, George would always talk about Coach Bryant this and that, and he was a well-disciplined, well-trained quarterback. And then I had great respect for Joe Namath, and I thought that, geez, if we can get a quarterback, you know, that's like George Blanda and like Joe Namath on our team, that's going to be a pretty good deal. And eventually we did.
Thank you, Coach.
Hey, Dan Brown from the Bay Area News Group.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for doing this. You mentioned yesterday in your statement that you're talking about Stabler's late game cool and the way you would trust him with a late game drive. And one of the things you said is Snake was a lot cooler than I was. What was his demeanor like? And how did you guys kind of balance each other out during those frantic final moments?
Well, you know, he really helped me because I would, you know, I mean, the hotter the game, you know, the hotter I got. And Kenny was truly, truly just the opposite. The hotter the game, the cooler he became. And I was telling a story this morning. We're playing Baltimore in a playoff game in Baltimore, and it was one of the real great games, I think, in NFL history that kind of got lost because it wasn't a championship game or a Super Bowl game. But anyway, it went six periods. So we, you know, the end of the regulation, we're tied. Then we go another period, and at the end of that period, we're tied. And then we're going into another period, and we have a timeout. So it's our ball, and we're just kind of crossing midfield. So I'm there, and I'm thinking, I'm talking to Kenny during the timeout, and he has his helmet cocked back, and he's looking up at the stands, and I'm talking to him, you know, let's do this, let's do that, you know, let's go eat, no, let's go fight, let's go play, but, you know, and I'm going 1,000, and he goes, you know what, John? And I thought, oh, great, he has a play. And I said, what? He goes, these fans are getting their money's worth today. I said, don't worry about the doggone fans. But, I mean, that's the way he was. You know, I'm going all over the board on, you know, what we should do, and he was just coolly looking up the stands and, yep, they're getting their money's worth today, man. But that was, I mean, he was always in the in the Super Bowl against Minnesota, the first couple of drives we had, we got stopped and we had to kick field goals, and I was all upset about, you know, not being able to finish, not being able to score. We need touchdowns. We didn't come here to kick field goals and all that. And Kenny put his hand on my shoulder and said, don't worry about that, John. There's plenty more where that came from. And You know, and the funny thing, it did affect me. I mean, I thought, shit, when he said that, you know, he's right. And I felt a heck of a lot better about it. But it wasn't just me. I mean, it was a whole team. I mean, that's what he gave to the team. I mean, he would, you know, I mean, he would throw a bad pass and it didn't bother him. I mean, he would forget it and go on to the next one. I mean, he'd throw, you know, a low pass or throw a pass into the dirt and, you know, he'd say low ball thrower, high ball drinker, huddle up, you know, and go on to the next play. And he just didn't let things affect him. And he was always positive. And in those days, the quarterback called the plays. So there was a lot to that, too. I mean, that, you know, sometimes we forget how smart Kenny Stabler was. I mean, he was a brilliant, brilliant quarterback with a brilliant, brilliant football mind. And he would set things up. And, you know, there was a thing that they don't even judge anymore is, you know, they call it, you know, field general. And Ken Stabler was a true field general, and the players, really, the offensive players, really believed in him and followed him, and anything that would come out of his mouth, they totally believed.
Okay, Sean Jonas.
Thanks, Coach, for doing this, and sorry for your loss. After all those crunch time comebacks, story games, Monday night football victories. You guys led that category when Kenny was there. Could you tell us a story or a quote or a comment on things that Kenny would say post-game after the win or loss, for that matter?
Well, you know, we didn't have a lot of losses. And, you know, after the game, I mean, he wasn't one to... to say a lot. I mean, he didn't give speeches before the game, and he didn't give speeches after the game, and he just enjoyed it. I mean, he enjoyed football, he enjoyed practice, he enjoyed playing, he enjoyed every part of it, and he enjoyed living. And you know, I think after the game, he was just, you know, thinking, what's the next thing? But you know, that his leadership was brought about the way he presented himself, held himself in the esteem that, you know, his teammates held him in.
Gotcha. Did he, by chance, ever say anything to you after the Holy Roller game?
No. We didn't. I mean, that was, I think after that Holy Roller game, you think of Kenny Stabler, and he was involved in, you know, probably more games that have names than anyone, and after that game, we were all in shock because it was kind of the thing we only had. What happened was we had used our last timeout, and we called a play. And the last thing I said to Kenny before he went out, I said, now, no matter what happens, the ball has to come out of your hands. We cannot take a sack because with no timeouts, the game would have been over. So that's what he's thinking. I mean, he's thinking, and he starts to – he has nothing. He starts to scramble. He starts to get tackled. He knows he has to get rid of the ball. You know, he does, and the rest is history. And then after that, it was just kind of shock. And then, like, the day or two after that, then it kind of became, oh, yeah, that's a play we work on. Yeah, we knew what we were doing and called it, you know, and all that baloney. The baloney followed later. The baloney didn't follow right after the game.
DeMarcus Davis from the SB Report.
Thank you, Coach Madden, for doing this for us. We appreciate it greatly. Thinking back on the character that was, you know, Kenny Stabler, was there ever a moment where, knowing he was that kind of that free-spirited character, that you were afraid to get that phone call that night before a game? Do you have any stories of that?
No, because he wasn't that way. That at the time when I was there with him, that was overplayed and overrated, and that wasn't the way he was. I made a deal with him, and I don't know that if it would work today, but I made a deal with him that I won't mess with him in the off season. I didn't have one of those things where he had to come in for mini camp, OTAs, and all that stuff. I just let him go. I said, the off season is yours, but the trade-off is you give me the season. The season's mine. And, you know, I mean, anything that I say that we have to do during the season is done. We had meetings before practice. We had meetings after practice. We had meetings at night. And, you know, I mean, he was always there. He was always attentive. And like I said, he was a brilliant guy. And the stories about him that came out later, to me, the Kenny Stabler that I know, those stories were vastly exaggerated.
Levi Damian from the
SBS. One story, I don't know if anyone remembers this, that someone was talking to his mother about Kenny and saying, you know, he's this and he's that and he's wild and he stays up all night and he does all these things. And his mother says, you're not talking about Kenny, you're talking about his daddy. And I always thought of that quote, and I always thought there's quite a bit of truth in that.
Levi Damian from SB Nation.
Thanks for joining us, John. We really appreciate it. How aware would you say you were of the severity of Stabler's cancer, how advanced it was, and what do you think it says about him that he made it such a – they kept it to himself that so many of his former teammates didn't have any idea?
Yeah, I was unaware. I was not aware that he had cancer. And I didn't, and that was a big part of the shock. But if you know Kenny Stabler, that's Kenny Stabler. We used to have a thing. Kenny Stabler never went into the training room, and he didn't want any of his teammates to ever see him getting treatment. He never went in the training room. He wouldn't be seen in there. He wouldn't step in there. And so I thought, well, this is ridiculous because, you know, I mean, he would take a little beating during these games too, and you know, and he needed treatment. And so I would talk to him about it, and he just didn't want to go in the training room. And so I said, well, you know, let's do it at night. So, you know, when everyone leaves, and you know, George Anderson, our trainer, would come back like at 9 o'clock at night, and that's when he got his treatment. But he didn't want any of his teammates to ever see him in the training room getting treatment. And I think that probably followed him through life.
Jason Leskew from sfbay.ca. Jason, you're online?
Sorry, I forgot to unmute my phone. Thanks again, Coach, for doing this. I was just hoping you could tell us kind of a story, maybe not on the field, but about Ken Stabler that kind of epitomized who he was as a person.
Well, you know, the thing was is he was always ready to help in any way he could, and when he would go out, he was always polite. I mean, he was a real Southern gentleman, you know, and he was, you know, we would have, you know, post game parties, and you know, I mean, he'd be around and he'd make a point to, you know, to talk to all the coaches' wives, and you know, treat them like they were really something. And he really treated people with respect. And then the other side of him, like I said, he enjoyed life. You know, I mean, he would rather, you know, tell a joke or tell a story or hear a joke or hear a story than anything that's real serious. And but when he had to be serious, he could get down and be as serious as anyone. And when that wasn't needed, he was just going to enjoy the moment.
Okay, Jeanette Howard from ESPN.
Thanks. Hi, Coach. You mentioned that Kenny's involvement in a lot of games that had names, famous names, and I was talking to some former players that played against him, and the one, a few Steelers mentioned the game, the Immaculate Reception game, how that win for them almost didn't happen because Kenny came off the bench and took you guys down for a touchdown in the last minute or so. Do you remember that game and anything
about
that?
I'll never forget that game. Yeah, he did. He came in off the bench, and you know, and the Steelers didn't know a lot about Stabler at that time, and they gave him a little room to his left, you know, in their pass rush, and he ran, and he ran for a touchdown, and that put us ahead. So that set up the immaculate reception. Now, the Steelers were behind. Time was running out. It was a fourth down play, the immaculate reception was. Last play, last-ditch effort, and then, you know, that happened. So, you know, he set up the situation that put them behind, that made them get into that mode to make that drive.
Yeah. Did you ever wonder if the dynasty would have been different if they didn't win that game?
No, it wouldn't have been different. I mean, they lost the next week, I think, but that was just the start of their dynasty. They, you know, I think they probably realized then that they had put together a pretty good team, a very good coaching staff, and they were ready to make their move. I think that was a thing. I don't think that they realize that this is the start of the dynasty, but this is definitely, you know, a turnaround in the playoffs, going in the right direction now, and we're not going to be the same old Steelers.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, guys, one last question. Jerry Nack from Raiders.com.
Coach Madden, once again, I'd like to echo what everybody else has said. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this. One of the things I remember about Ken Stabler was the way he threw the ball and his unbelievable ability to thread the needle and get the ball in between hands. What do you credit his just innate ability to throw the football and get the ball to open receivers?
You know, that was what he had, and do it quickly. I mean, he had a thing that I always said in his mind from the time he saw something until the ball left his hand was the quickest mechanism that I've ever seen. And, you know, I don't know how you measure that, or I don't know exactly what that is. But, I mean, some guys see it, then they're going to step, then they're going to throw, and then it's too late. I mean, he sees it, boom, you know, and it would come out. And then, as you say, with great accuracy. And that's what a quarterback has to have. I mean, when Kenny Stabler came to us, that's what – he had. He didn't have the strongest arm, but he had a very accurate arm. And he knew where to go with the ball, and he could see and read quickly. And then when he read something and saw it and read it quickly, the ball would be out of his hand. And the thing that I always liked about him is, you know, I made a statement yesterday that, to this day, if I had, you know, one drive where we had to make a drive to win a game, I'd want Kenny Stabler as a quarterback. And you just think of, you know, in those situations and in those drives when he'd get in his drop, you know, in his drop back and his drop and that back foot would set, then he would stand straight up. I mean, he would get, I don't know if you ever remember this or anyone has seen this, but he would get taller. He would make himself taller in the pocket. And there are some guys that tend to make themselves smaller in the pocket. Kenny Stabler would go back, and then he would rise. And you just think that's the way he played, you know, that the bigger the situation, I'm going to get back, I'm going to get to the head of my drop, and I'm going to step, and I'm going to rise, and then I'm going to rise to the occasion. And that's what he did. And then, like you say, he just had great accuracy. To me, that was a natural thing more than a taught thing.